touchdown or turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Better rates and better service, atfcu.com. I got to do it. I have to do it. Touchdown or turnover? Holly, no, I'm not going there. I ain't going there. I ain't going there. Jalen Hurts will play in the SEC next year. Jalen Hurts will play in the SEC next year. Jalen Hurts, Alabama quarterback, is in the transfer portal. And I guess Charlie is there too. But Jalen Hurts is there. And there's been talk about him. Tennessee, Auburn, OU, Texas, going back to Texas at TCU. But do we feel like Jalen Hurts will be in the SEC, touchdown or turnover?
I say turnover. Before I give my reason, I will say Charlie is not in the transfer portal. He's more in the retirement portal because he is just getting out of media completely. He's not transferring.
So, not yet. I'm still doing Orange and White Report for the time being.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I meant in terms of being on the radio.
Well, yes. Retiring from radio.
Yes. So, I think we should retire Charlie's number or master's degree. We should get a copy of his master's degree and hang it on the wall
in the Swain
Event logo. But I say turnover that Jalen Hurts will transfer to an SEC school next season, mainly because of his personality. I don't think he wants to compete against Alabama directly. Just based off what you hear about his character and kind of the way he is, I don't think there's any chance that he would transfer to Auburn out of respect for being at Alabama. I truly believe that. I think Tennessee is a little bit different because, quite frankly, Tennessee has not held up their end of the bargain in the rivalry. I do think Jalen Hurts would be a good fit for Tennessee and would do well at Tennessee. But I think there are greener pastures out there for Jalen Hurts, such as a school like Oklahoma. I think that would be a very nice fit for him with a bunch of five-star receivers coming in there. They don't have an established quarterback. And then Lincoln Riley. Why would you not want to play for Lincoln Riley and his offensive mind? But there's also other options in Miami. He could go down there and start day one. And if T. Martin were to go be the offensive coordinator at Miami, I think that would be a really nice duo. And even if it's not T. Martin, I'm sure Manny Diaz will bring in a competent offensive coordinator regardless. But then, like Swain said, there's also the options of TCU, which he would start right away.
And it's home.
Home. And you'd be playing for Gary Patterson, which is one of the best offensive minds or best football coaches in football, period. So I think there are several options outside of the SEC that are very good for him. And, you know, there's been rumors that he doesn't necessarily want to play in the SEC out of respect for Alabama. And based off of what I know about his character, I somewhat believe those rumors.
I'll say turnover also. And so Alex Scarborough, ESPN, friend of the show, wrote an article yesterday that went through kind of the short list for Jalen Hurts, teams that it would make sense for. And Tennessee was the only SEC team on the list, actually, strangely. You might not think that. But he mentioned a lot of the guys that you guys brought up, Miami, TCU, Oklahoma. He also mentioned Maryland, Florida State, to UCLA, and just all those other landing spots. And specifically TCU and Oklahoma, to me, make a lot of sense for Jalen Hurts. Outside of the SEC, like you've said, you know, you don't have to play Alabama next year. Specifically a school like Oklahoma, they're a quarterback away from being yet again probably a playoff team. So I think that he ends up elsewhere, and best of luck to the young man. I think he's going to kill it wherever he goes because he's been great at Alabama, and Lord knows he's just going to take that somewhere else. So
if I was Petty, I would say go to Auburn. That would be hilarious. Hilarious. But I'm going to say turnover. I think he leaves the SEC, and I think he goes to Maryland. When you look at Maryland, Mike Locksley is there, coming over from Alabama. If I'm Mike Locksley, I would want Jalen Hurts to kind of lay the foundation offensively in my first year at Maryland. They have talent on that football team, talent that took Ohio State all the way to the last 5 minutes of that game when they played Ohio State. Had them beat. There's talent. You add Jalen Hurts, and you're talking about pumping energy into that program, something horrific happening over the last 12 months. And they don't have to win the championship to call this upcoming season a success. I think Jalen Hurts could be the guy there in Maryland. And if I'm Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts' daddy, I would work a deal to where after my playing days, I have an in with Under Armour. That's what I would do. You have some leverage, Jalen Hurts. Maryland needs you. You have something that you can offer Maryland. Maryland has something they can offer you post-football. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I go, hey, hook me up with, Kevin Plank, the owner of Under Armour, who is a Maryland grad. Hook me up with Scott Van Pelt, Maryland grad. I need some hookups after football. That's what I would do if I'm Jalen Hurts. I would go to Maryland. I would go to Maryland for sure. Then maybe Oklahoma, because you're going to win.
And you get to work with Lincoln Riley. And then yes. Next to Lincoln Riley, my third option, well, for me, it would be Oklahoma, then UCLA. He would start day one at UCLA probably. Man, and UCLA with Chip Kelly, and then that Pac-12. The Pac-12 is not too hot right now, so I think he could win right away at UCLA with Chip Kelly.
No, he has options. He has options for sure. Let's get to Johnny. Johnny, good morning.
Hey, yeah, I was calling about the ad in the news channel for the job opening with Sweet Hours and Free Barbecue. Is that the right place here?
Yes, you are at the right place, man. We do offer free dead-end barbecue if you work on the Swain event.
No, I was calling in to wish Charlie a farewell to let him know that it's been awesome listening to him for the last year and a half.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Definitely sad to see you go, but show must go on, so I'm actually free. I get off at 7, so it kind of works out.
That's just perfect like timing.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. No, but I was just calling in to so you be missed, man. All right? Good luck.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, John. Thanks for the phone call, man.
Now, Charlie, that's how you be genuine.
Yeah, Charlie.
That's how you're genuine when somebody thanks you or wishes you well.
I put my nose down. I made sure my nose was down.
Yeah.
Facing down, and then I just said what came to mind.
Good job, man. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. We will consider you. Yeah. It's you and Buck Nasty, man. Y'all are the finalists. But yeah, we will, you know, we will, I guess it'll be next man up or whatever. It's the culture here at the Swain event, man. I mean, it's like Georgia's football culture. They can't keep anybody. Golly. Mm-hmm. All the players going to the NFL and coaches leaving and coaches not wanting to go to Georgia. And, I mean, we've just been through so many folks here at the Swain event, man. Seth Stokes and Daniel Lewis and you now, Charlie. My goodness.
Yeah, the only person who stuck it out all the way through.
Can we keep anybody around here?
Benjamin McKee.
All I know is I've outlasted three.
The stalwart.
So you could. Hey, I said it on Twitter the other day. I'm the Dabo Sweeney of the crew.
Yeah, you are.
Underestimated.
You the interim, man. You the interim co-host. How you feeling, Ben? You got a game plan to take over?
Yeah, we're 10 years from now, we'll be winning championships.
All right.
It's a 10-year process.
10 years? Man, I'm getting old quick. I don't know about 10 years. How about 8 months?
Okay, 10 months.
All right, who we got next?
Neil and Mafia and then DR Vol.
Neil and Mafia, good morning.
Good Good morning. This is Neyland Mafia reporting from the end of Conclave. I'm here in beautiful Vatican City, just outside St. Neyland's Cathedral, mere minutes from the Sun Sphere. Ah, the Sun Sphere, where on Tuesday night orange smoke finally billowed, marking the selection of an Oseum and the end of the long, draining process. It was known at the beginning of the Conclave there were preferred ones of Pope Pruitt the I. Yet, the gauntlet of votes must be ran, and the voters arrived from all over. Bishop Warlick from the Isle of Sapphos, the Islamic Brotherhood from Cleveland, Clausen the Hurler from California, Travis Henry the Fertile, Bishop Jansen from Parole. Before the smoke could issue forth on the 69 ballot, very nice, numerous candidates would rise and fall. The first preferred candidate to fall was Yersich the Gundiat, withdrawn after Cardinal Fulmer the Heavy pointed out that his only ambition appeared to be to go to Ohio in January to play in the snow for an also-ran. Secondly, Kendall DeVille abandoned proceedings when Florida State pointed out that all he had to do to not get in trouble over women with the cops in Tallahassee was not be Ted Bundy. Agreeing that he could at least meet that low bar, Kendall was eliminated. Freeze the Escort voluntarily left the search when Jerry Falwell texted him and promised he could judge all the cankle contests in Roanoke he wanted to. And on a final note, sadly, Archbishop Thunder Thornton was seen dragging Holly Warlick outside, showing her his new guns and promising a very special recruiting trip where they would go deep in the woods. Former the Heavy interfered. He said, no, I owe it to her. I promise we'll go out alone very soon. Warlick looked at him and said, you promise we're really going to go out and we're going to talk? Fulmer's eyes looked wistful and sad, and he said, yes, indeed, Holly, and very soon. That's it from Conclave. Reporting live, I'm Neyland Mafia.
Was that an interview? Neyland Mafia? Was that an interview?
No. I'm not a candidate. I'm not doing that. You know, I mean,
Are you turning me down?
No, I mean, you never say never to nothing.
Okay.
You know, and I love that song Rocky Top, man, and I got a lot of orange blood in my body. But you know, I'm content where I am right now, and you know, and I'm kind of looking at an NFL gig.
Really?
Kind of, sort of.
Smart. Yep.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
With what franchise, Neyland Mafia?
Oh, with the Titans.
Oh. Well, what are you going to be doing there?
I was lined up to do an interview with the Bears, Doink, and I walked into the Doink interview, the elevator, Doink, Doink, and it just, you know, it never panned out from the get-go.
That's up.
Why you do that, man? Why you do that? You got Jim Ross over here.
I love you, man.
Golly, man.
Charlie, I want to tell you goodbye, man. You're a great one.
Neyland Mafia, you are a treasure. I will miss these phone calls. Well, honestly, I'll continue to listen to them on the Swain Event podcast for sure. But my goodness, I will miss being able to be on air and respond to them directly. You're one of the best, and thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Neyland Mafia.
Look at Charlie progressing, just growing before our eyes with his responses.
Yeah,
to
man.
Goodbye.
You're getting better at taking compliments, Charlie.
It's a call-by-call process.
Like the first one, Charlie was like...
I'm getting practice, so...
The first one was like, hey, Charlie, we're going to miss you, man. We love you. Charlie was like,
Thank...
Okay.
All right.
Get over here.
Thank you.
Itching. All right. Thanks. Now... You got something to say in return. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Charlie, man.
It sounds genuine.
You're growing, Charlie. You're growing, man.
Call by call.
Yep.
You're growing. You're growing.
Compliment by compliment.
You're showing great 69 effort.
I mean, this really is... I've never really had any situation like this. So I genuinely... I appreciate everything. But I'm still, I'm new to the game.
He doesn't know what to say.
I'm new to the game.
It hurts Don and Charlie.
Yes.
He's over there itching like Dave Chappelle.
It's like Jerry Pruitt smiling.
It's just not natural.
Yeah.
It's like, trying to get used to it. My face hurts. Like, I gotta smile.
Jeremy Pruitt looks like he's Putin when he's smiling.
I gotta smile. This hurts. Oh. Charlie's like, I gotta say something nice. Ugh. Oh, this hurts. All right, who we got next?
D'Arval.
D'Arval, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, Charlie, you're doing better, man. You're not going to get accused of looking down your nose at the callers anymore.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
I mean, it does look kind of awkward. I figure you're going to pull a Ricky Bobby any minute and not know what to do with your hands if I keep calling in like that. I hate following Neyland Mafia. I feel like Holly Warlick following Pat Summitt. But I have a question about Jim Chaney. Pruitt was asked about a quarterback coach, and he said he didn't know about Chaney yet. Is that because we're still waiting on T. Martin? Because looking at Chaney's track record just with even when Crompton was here and then what he did with Peterman, I mean, that alone speaks for itself.
Sorry, D'Arval, you got to ask me that again, man. I'm still trying to recover from laughing at
Neyland Mafia. Swain wasn't ready.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. I'm still recovering from Neyland Mafia, man. I'm over here still laughing, trying to figure out half the stuff that he was saying. All right, go ask me that question again.
The quarterback coach, Pruitt was asked about Chaney doing the quarterback coaching, and he said he didn't know yet. Is that because we're waiting on T. Martin?
That's because we don't know how the staff is going to shake out, who's going, who's staying, and who's coming. And if you do have a situation where and this is the great thing about Chaney. Chaney can coach tight ends. He can coach quarterbacks. He really can coach any position on offense. But tight ends and quarterbacks would probably be the best thing for Chaney. If you do get T could coach quarterbacks. T could coach wide receivers. Honestly, T could coach running backs if he needed to, but I think wide receivers and quarterbacks are the two positions that he is probably most comfortable at because he's already done it. And he kind of played the position at Tennessee, won a national championship. So that's why I think Pruitt is saying what he's saying, because there's still a lot that has to shake out with this staff.
That makes sense. I just hope we hear something soon before Alabama grabs them now that Gattis is gone.
Yeah, I think, if I had to guess, I think Alabama would be probably third maybe on the list.
I got you.
Yeah. T had a chance to go to Alabama before, and that turnover there is ridiculous at Alabama. And some coaches like it, some coaches don't. Some players are okay with that as long as they go to the league. Some players don't like that. We saw that with Justin Ross, who is from Phoenix City, number one player from Alabama last year, who went to Clemson. He did not like that. When I was being recruited by LSU, I did not like that either. And so it's just different strokes for different folks. I don't think Alabama is like number one for T. Martin.
Okay. Good deal. Well, I'm going to close and hear y'all discuss. I'm glad that Pruitt clarified his statement on the offensive coordinator, because I think everybody just took it and ran with it. I thought it was a bit ridiculous. But I enjoy the show, and Charlie, good luck, and keep up with the expressions on the show.
Thank you.
God, Charlie, we need more from you, Charlie.
But Nick Saban can make an offer that T can't refuse. I mean, he does have that ability. Let's keep that in mind. Like, he has that ability to bring it. So we'll see. But I don't think T. Martin is like up thinking about going to Alabama and really that's his dream opportunity. I just think that Tennessee and him can't get past the fact that it's Alabama, to be honest. That's just my personal feeling. Ben, what are you doing over here with music?
It was requested. And why are you singing?
Requested by who?
I don't know.
If
I can't remember. One of the people on Twitter.
If Bye 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 by NSYNC doesn't move you, you probably weren't born in the 90s.
My man, Volgoose, requested it. Triple O said, are we playing songs to say goodbye to Charlie? And I said, well, what songs do you want me to play? And Volgoose responded and said, bye, bye, bye.
Charlie's not used to nice things being said to him. Somebody needs to call in or text in and say that we need to play Ludacris, Move. get out of the way.
See, I mean, you notice yesterday I really flourished when Chris got into the text box and was talking junk.
That was your best moment.
That's when I had the most to say.
That was your best moment yesterday. Checking Chris, man.
It's really where I flourish.
Yeah, man. You checked him into the glass like hockey, man. That was your best moment.
What we need to do is we need somebody to call in and back Holly Warlick, get Charlie fired up, and then after he goes on his Holly Warlick spill, we need somebody to call in and wish Charlie well and see how he responds from going full redneck mad to like having to be nice.
Yeah, this would be some real training.
Golly, man, this is great. Not the song, though. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, or Ben's Dancing. Be right back.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sautéed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can. Because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Simpico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
If you aren't following the Swain event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do. Baby, come on. Loved you endlessly,
and you weren't there for me, so now it's time. Yeah, this is awkward. Who's this? NSYNC? Yes. Or Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC.
Oh, this is NSYNC.
Look.
Wait a minute, Charlie. You act like I'm supposed to know that.
I think you should know that.
I'm supposed to know the difference?
Well, not the difference. Well, okay. I guess you're right. NSYNC, I always had a trouble singing with. I'm talking about the song. This isn't a song that I play on repeat. Like, if it's on the radio, I'll stop and listen to it for a second or two. But I don't go out of my way to listen to it. You should respect this song. It has over 12 or over 1 million views on YouTube.
I like the song. I get NSYNC and Backstreet Boys mixed up. Sorry.
This one was Justin Timberlake in.
That was NSYNC. See,
you did too.
This, I know.
JT is singing right now. Okay, he sings the first verse.
Was there anybody else famous in NSYNC? Like Justin Timberlake famous?
I mean, like Joey Fatone. He's ended up like hosting TV shows and stuff.
We're not doing this, guys.
Oh, you want to know how deep this goes?
We're not doing
Joey Fatone, JC Chazé, Lance Bass, Justin Timberlake, NSYNC. I mean, I need you to understand. This was like my childhood. You never listened to... Maybe it's because I grew up with a sister.
I grew up with a sister.
Yeah, you did. But a little later than me.
So who had the NSYNC posters on their wall? Charlie or your sister?
Definitely not me, that's for sure.
Charlie would go...
No, NSYNC had some hits.
You're
some
right,
classics.
Charlie. I'm messing with you. I just don't know their names and their nicknames and their last names and their favorite color.
Well, I mean, for most of them, I mean, they were just a real cultural touchstone. It was hard to avoid, but I genuinely enjoyed and look back on their music fondly.
Did you and some friends from Harden Valley get together and make a band inside your garage and try to be like these guys?
Yes, Charlie was in a band at one point.
I can neither confirm nor deny. That's true. It was a bluegrass band, not
with the NSYNC touch to it.
Yes, it was a bluegrass band that played NSYNC songs.
Bye bye bye.
Yeah.
All right. So we gonna pretend like we didn't see that some Tennessee players on Jalen Hurts on the team. We gonna pretend like we didn't see that.
I saw one. I saw Emmett Gooden post a picture with Jalen Hurts from, I'm assuming, when Emmett was taking a visit to Alabama. It was not a recent picture because in that picture, Jalen Hurts had dreadlocks, and Jalen Hurts no longer has dreadlocks.
No, he does not.
Emmett Gooden was the one that I saw.
Yeah. So, we're not going to make a big deal about this, but we are going to discuss it because I have gotten some questions about the message they may send or, you know, how do the players feel about Jerry Garantano? We're just 1 year removed from Butch Jones, all right? So people are still kind of washing off that scared off of them. We've had players fall on helmets and stuff like that. So it's natural, it's normal for folks to wonder if that what that means. Let me tell you what that means. It's nothing personal towards Jerry Garantano. If you're on this team and you want talent to come in, you shouldn't care what position it is. If you are a player on this team, you should want, if you're a receiver, you should want more receivers to come in. You don't want less receivers. You want more because that's going to push you every day, make you better every day. You're trying to win. Winning is the most important thing right now for this football program. Period. If you boys with Jared Garantano, that's your boy, you should still want more talent coming into this program. Because Jared's going to have to compete regardless of who's here. If he wants to play in the NFL, like I know he wants to, you can go and look at his tweets when they announced that Las Vegas will host the Super Bowl, and he was like, I'll be there, something like that, around those.
The draft.
Yeah, the draft. When I say Super Bowl, yeah, draft. Like, he wants to play in the league. Well, when he gets to the league, he will be competing every single day for his life. Every day he'll compete for his life. So Jared's not afraid of competition. He's not. He stayed here. He competed with Kelly Chris. He's going to compete again this spring, as he should. And if they decide to bring in a quarterback, then so be it. What's important is the success of the team. The program is bigger than any one person. Tennessee football is bigger than any one person. And when we figure that out, then Tennessee will start to win like they should. Over the last decade and a half, two decades, there were some people who thought they were bigger than Tennessee football, and the program has suffered. Tennessee football is bigger than Coach Fulmer, Jeremy Pruitt, Jason Swain, Al Wilson. It's bigger than Peyton Manning. It's bigger than one individual. It's bigger than everybody. It is. And so it's about bringing in talent. So I did see some people like, oh, my God, man, the players want – they want Jalen Hurts. Yeah, they want more talent. Yeah, they want talent everywhere because you want to win. Also, a thing that we have to kind of cover is Austin Price on the show highlighted, mentioned, pointed out that Juwan Jennings was not enrolled in spring classes. What does that mean? Well, it means, could mean a couple things here. He's seriously thinking about the NFL. It could mean what it meant for Cordarrelle Patterson in 2012. It could mean you don't have a choice to go to the NFL because academically you may be in trouble. It could mean that too. It really could. And if that's the case, it just kind of makes you sick because you know about all the talent that Juwan possesses. You know about the way he plays the game, which is the way you should play the game of football. All out, every single play. Juwan is a joy to watch play the game of football. And thinking about the 2019 season, number 15 was going to be a big part of it. If he's not going to be back, he was going to be a big part of it. And you hate that. We've done interviews with the Derek Tinsley's. I know this from my time playing with Brett Smith. But those guys did not play in a bowl game because they didn't pass 6 hours. I had came close, honestly, 1 year because of just personal reasons and being unable to handle, I guess, like, disappointment. I mean, I had a couple of family members pass away my sophomore year, so I didn't do a really good job of handling that. Didn't really talk to anybody. Kept it all in, and it hurt me in the classroom. And I came close to not playing in the bowl game either. Man, I would have missed out on that money too, that bowl gift.
But, which bowl game would that have been?
Cotton Bowl.
So forget about the money. Well, never mind. I was thinking the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, it was Cotton Bowl.
I was going to say, if you weren't going to play in the Outback Bowl, you would have missed that hit by the Penn State safety, too.
Yeah. That was close. That was close. And so there's just no reason for someone to come to University of Tennessee, regardless of their background or whether their high school was good or not, whether they had the best teachers or the best school system or whatever. There's just no excuse to come to Tennessee and not get it done in the classroom because of the resources. And this is, Turk will appreciate this. It ain't negative. And it's not like he'll find out anyways I said it, so he doesn't have social media. I'll say it anyways. We cool. I apologize later if he gets mad. But if Turk McBride can make it here at Tennessee, coming from Camden, New Jersey, and did not know how to write a paragraph coming in, and he will be the first to say this and admit this, our day in the Thornton Center where we had to write a paper and Turk wrote one sentence.
Well,
the paper was one sentence. It had no punctuation. It had none of that. Didn't have a comma. Nothing.
It was a page long. But it was a sentence.
It was a sentence. It was a sentence. And I remember Miss Georgia telling Turk, like, hey, this ain't gonna cut it. And Turk being so frustrated and mad. And me, like, grabbing Turk and going, hey, man, hey, it's like, hey, I got you. Like, this, let's do this. And I thank Grissom High School for preparing me. But I sat down with Turk, and that's how we became friends. Like that moment is the moment we became friends. Because Turk thought I was Meacham and wanted to beat me up initially. Because Turk called Meacham and was calling all the people who signed. And Meacham kind of big-timed him. And he thought I was Meacham because I was a wide receiver. He thought I was Robert Meacham. He thought Jason Swain was a white boy.
Hey, man, how are you?
Jason? Oh, that's a white boy. So he didn't think I was me. But we became cool because of that moment in Thornton Center.
there's just no reason for anyone not to have, you know, success in the classroom. And I hate that. If that's true, if that's the reason why Juwan is not in class, I hate that. And that would be a lesson for other student athletes. You got to get that done in the classroom first. Just the way it works. So I hope it works out for Juwan, whether he gets back on the team or gets in class, or if he doesn't, if he can't, I hope that he goes, trains his butt off, and show up at the combine and do a really good job at pro day and get himself drafted and play 10, 15 years in the league. I really hope that. I hope this doesn't hurt his opportunities, because Cordell Patterson made the best of it. He did. All right, let's get to C-Mac.
Well, let's get to Andre and then C-Mac.
Andre, then C-Mac. Sorry about that, Andre. I ain't meaning cut line.
You're good. Hey, Andre, Swain, can you hear me pretty good?
Am I good?
I said, can you hear me pretty good?
Oh, you sound great, man.
Hey, man, this is a great Friday. This is the first one of the new year. I got the biggest paycheck I've ever gotten. It's on the first week of the year. And are you ready for some hot takes?
I'm ready for some hot takes.
All right, alone. Number one, Philip Fulmer, through 1 year, if you just look at 1 year, arguably has one of the best records as an AD. Let me explain why. He's only made two football hires. The two people he hired, he's bringing down the infrastructure of the best teams in college football. He hired the best defensive coordinator for Alabama and Georgia's offensive coordinator, which are arguably the top three coordinators at their position. His basketball team is top three in the country. Women's basketball is top 25.
Ooh.
And I don't really. They're not top 25?
Well, I just.
They are.
I'm just. We can include women's basketball if you want to right now. We got to circle back.
We're
going to circle back on that.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they're part of his program.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And all the other teams, are, you know, I've really followed them, but, you know, I've seen they made steady gains. So in this 1 year, he's single-handedly, you know, destroying our top rival. And, the other two top sports are up there. So as far as anybody else, I don't know any other AD that's done that within the 1 year span.
Coach Fulmer has done a good job in those areas for sure, helping Pruitt get the Cheney deal done. Got to give Pruitt some credit too for the Cheney hire. But yeah, they made it happen. They opened up the checkbook and got Jim Cheney. You brought in Pruitt from Alabama, and you saw Alabama's defense really, really suffer.
Yep.
Without Pruitt in that championship game. I mean, getting torched by a true freshman that way is one thing, but getting torched and it seemed like an and-one mixtape on grass is another thing, and that's what it looked like. And so, yeah, Coach Fulmer hitting two rivals right there between the eyes. But on the basketball front, he kind of inherited Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes was going to be great with this basketball team. This is where folks are going to criticize Coach, and this is – it's about the women's basketball program in Holly Warlick.
Yeah.
And I do understand, to a certain extent, Coach had just got here to extend Holly Warlick a year. I heard that they had lowered the buyout, so that way if they decide to make a change, then they could do that without being financially strapped.
Well, weren't they trying to – didn't she have, like, a top recruiting class? Do you think they would have left if Holly would have left?
She's had two top recruiting classes, really good recruiting classes. But did you watch the game last night?
No, I heard. So, I mean, she's not a good X's and O's, but I feel like her cachet can get players. So,
I don't know what Coach Fulmer's going to do, man, because Coach has already made it clear that he's here to fix football. Which is just a straight up honest thing to say, but Lady Vol basketball is really important too, and Coach can't just turn a blind eye to Lady Vol basketball. And if what happened last night continues, and I'm not just talking about losing, I'm talking about 19 turnovers.
That's how it's been all season.
I'm talking about. Just not being aware,
Kentucky player. The shot clock is running out. Your player's not playing the shot. Get up on her. Put a hand on her face. Just not being aware in those situations. Just a lot of fundamental errors in that basketball game. Being out coached. I mean, if that continues, then Coach Fulmer is going to have a really tough decision to make. I'm not one to sit here and expect a coach to coach perfect every single game. I'm not. You're going to have some good days and bad days, but you better have more good days than bad days, for sure. And last night was not a good look for Holly Warlick at all. It just wasn't.
I guess you can say the one kind of out of network, if you want to call it that, out of network hire that that Fulmer has made, that they did a great job. I think it was kind of a team effort more than
it was definitely a team effort.
Yeah, or someone and else doing.
I've heard rumors has been more so the other people in the athletic department than Coach Fulmer.
And what I'm talking about is Eve Rackham. That's
the volleyball coach.
Yes, for volleyball, and they had a great season. They were 26-6 this year.
They won 9 or 10 in a row to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and so whether he was involved at all or the people around him simply made that decision, whatever it is, they did a good job with that hire. So with women's basketball, again, it's going to be out of Fulmer's comfort zone if it comes to that. And I would assume that the team around him would be pretty involved. So maybe it's a good sign that they could make a good hire there. It's hard to say. But also, I did want to mention this too. Don't leave out soccer. Women's soccer had a huge year.
Yeah, but
this season made it the Elite Eight.
That was a Rick Barnes situation where
the coach was already there.
Come on, man. I love me some Coach Fulmer. All right, that's my coach. But we ain't giving Coach Fulmer any credit for Rick Barnes' success and soccer. Yeah, come on now. This is the football hire was his moment. And here's going to be another moment for him, which is, you're an AD. It's going to get hard. You're going to have to make tough decisions.
And he's already made, technically, a decision with the Lady Vols basketball program in extending her last offseason, at the end of last season.
And I understand why he did, because he's just taking over as AD. This is his first time being AD. He's still learning. So getting that job in that moment, having to get a football coach, and then trying to turn around and hire a basketball coach, that would be tough. And not just hiring a basketball coach. You're replacing a coach whose jersey is hanging in the rafters. His number was retired. Who is following Pat Summitt. This is not a decision that I think Coach Fulmer was prepared to make last year, just taking over as AD. With a year under his belt, yes, he's helping football, but he's an AD. It ain't just about one sport. He's going to have to make a really, really, really tough decision if this team continues to play the way they're playing right now.
Which it will, because I said it before conference play started. I said the Lady Vols have been beating the likes of Murray State and Belmont and UNC Asheville, these really, really bad basketball teams, at least in the sense of being on the level of Tennessee. They've been beating them by 30, 40 points, but within those games, they've been turning it over 20-plus times. They've been missing a ton of free throws, shooting poor percentages from the field, missing 1,000 bunnies per game at the rim. It's just, and they lack communication on the defensive end, and the fact that they've played these lower-level teams has masked those deficiencies. And you finally started to see it play out on Sunday against Missouri, last night against Kentucky. And it's weird to say, but Holly Warlick hasn't lost the game that she shouldn't have. Kentucky is a better basketball team than Tennessee this year. Missouri is a better basketball team than Tennessee this year. Stanford is a better basketball team than Tennessee this year. And that's the problem. Those schools should never be better basketball schools than Tennessee.
Man, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in Coach Fulmer's shoes on this one, because it's not going to be easy if the play continues. Again, this is a young basketball team. So they can grow. I mean, you look at Kentucky over the years. In Kentucky last year, they struggled early, and they became really, really good in the SEC tournament and had a chance to make a run in the NCAA tournament because they were young guys and had to grow. So that is what Holly Warlick can hope for, is that this team will figure it out and they'll play better. But if they don't, it's a tough position. And I hate it because she's an alum. I mean, she gave her all. Her number's retired. Regardless of what happens, I think we need to approach this situation with respect. Here's a chance for us to treat our own better than we have in the past. Like, okay, if she can't get it done, there's no reason to be disrespectful and hateful. All you're doing is giving other fan bases ammunition. Like, you don't have to pile on your own like this. You don't. If she can't get it done, then she can't get it done. But at the end of the day, she is one of us. She is. She's not going to not coach and then go be an intern in Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is home for her. Yep. So there's a way to approach this and talk about this without being hateful and being disrespectful. She is a Vol, okay? That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying she's doing a good job right now, and I ain't saying she should be extended 5 years. All I'm saying, if we get to that point, and you know we're heading to that point, just keep in mind that, man, she's a former Vol. She's a former Vol. All right. Let's go to the phones.
We've got C-Mac, then Andy, then Volstorm.
C-Mac, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Swain. Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Charlie.
C-Mac.
Hey, man. Good morning. It's still a little bit early. It's a little bit before 7 o'clock out here in Denver. Hey, so I appreciate, as always, waking me up early in the morning.
Thank you for calling, man. Hey, you're getting comfortable, man. It's your second phone call.
I know, and it's important. Before I get to the most important part of my phone call, I just want to comment real quick on what y'all were just talking on. You're right. It's a very sensitive subject matter when it comes to Holly Ward and the job that she's doing. But, you know, at some point when this tough decision is made, you know, one of my questions in the future is going to be, do we make a run at a certain coach down in South Carolina if we do need to make a change? But, you know, we can save that question for later. A question I did want to get in this morning, one last time. Charlie, I know it's super early, but what is your early preview or predictions for our Titans for next year?
God, good question.
First, let's hire an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see what they do with Marcus. But if I had to guess, the schedule is not as favorable next year. They got some tougher opponents. Honestly, I would guess around the same, because I think if they make some good moves this season, the team will be better than they were this year, next year, but the schedule is tougher. So my guess would be another 9-7-ish campaign. That would be my guess.
The division's going to be even harder next year.
I see four L's.
I expect the Jaguars to bounce back. The Jaguars may not be good next year, but they're not going to be as bad as they were this year. They may not make the playoffs, but they're not going to be as bad. They have too much talent on that defense to be as bad again as they were this year. The Colts are only going to get better, and the Texans are only going to get better.
You would think so. It's going to be tough, but you lost three of those four games this season and still had a chance to make the playoffs right at the very end and just came up a little bit short. So like I said, I would guess 9-7-ish again. Vrabel's got it's an uphill climb for him. Good luck.
Let's go to Andy. Andy, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
We're good, Andy. How are you, man?
You know, it's Friday.
It is Friday.
Charlie, best of luck to you wherever you go.
Thank you so much, Andy.
So, let's see, where to start? Well, it's good to, you know, that Tennessee's actually, you know, still climbing to the top, and then you see all these other programs. Is it true that Alabama has been fighting with each other? the players and stuff, because I think it's hilarious if they really are.
I have not. They want to blame Tua. I have not seen that at all.
They didn't lose that game just because of Tua.
I don't know. Somebody had sent me a screenshot of something about Alabama supposedly was blaming Nick Saban was saying that Najee Harris was better than the rest of them, and they was blaming Tua, and they should have been in Jalen Hurt, and that's why he's transferring. And I mean, I'm just like, you know, even though we didn't go to the playoffs this year, we look positive. All these other programs, they just
playoffs.
Like, they just
look
dumb.
Playoffs?
We're trying to get to a bowl game, Andy. We're talking playoffs. I'm just trying to play in the tax layer bowl. But we got our own problems, Andy, for sure. There's no doubt about it. We're still climbing, and thanks for the phone call. We're still trying to, you know, get our stuff together. But as a Tennessee fan, there's no problem with being happy that your rivals are having a little bit of problems. And I don't think Alabama's having any problems that Nick Saban won't be able to handle. Georgia, I don't know, man. Kirby Smart's third year just wrapped up, and this is him still learning how to be a head coach and manage talent, manage a staff, and he's going to have to replace Jim Chaney and replace some talent. So we'll see what happens. Thanks for the phone call, Andy. Let's get to
Volstorm.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
It's a bittersweet morning. You know, we're here to not only wish our brother good well, but you know, I just wanted to get into some of the things that I'm really going to miss about Charlie being gone.
Oh boy.
What's one that? Of the things I created a kind of a top five list of things that I personally will miss about Charlie being gone.
Okay.
Number five being watching Charlie on the Periscope and sometimes looking like he fell asleep.
We're gonna miss those moments.
I yawn, but the folks that listen to the show don't know that. I sound high energy, while some mornings I may not be. So that's, you know, sounding that way is all that really matters.
Yeah.
Go on.
Number four is going to be the constant wardrobe changes during every break at Alumni Hall.
Oh, yeah, you're going to miss that, man. Charlie was strutting his stuff.
Great times.
Number three is Charlie tweeting out from the Orange and White report and his personal account as if we all don't know it's the same thing.
Some people don't. I swear to you, Volstorm, I still get people who are like, oh, I didn't realize that Orange and White report was your website. I still do to this day. So while you know, not everyone does.
Number two's got to be picking fights with Ben over the Holly Warlick situation.
Yep.
I think they're united today.
Yeah.
We were always on the same page. I just don't think she is as bad of a coach as Charlie does. Like, yeah. She's not good enough for the Lady Vols program, but that doesn't mean that she's bad. That's where me and him differentiate.
I've never heard two people get under each other's skin over a minute detail in my life as you two over this.
No, the difference was Charlie wanted her fired, like, immediately.
4 years ago.
Yeah, Ben wanted to wait. That was the only difference.
And the number one thing that I will miss most about Charlie is constantly giving us updates on the Preds and the Titans during the middle of the heated college football season.
Yep.
Man.
Now I'll be taking over that role.
Yes, Predators are doing well, 58 points to this point. They did lose last night, but they still got a point because they made it to overtime.
What'd you say, Ben?
I will be taking over the Preds updates role.
Let me be like the president here, Donald Trump, and fix my lips to say wrong. wrong.
I do have one other that's kind of a special mention.
In the middle of football
it's,
season.
Going to an event at Dead End Barbecue and watching Charlie duck out early.
Hey, well, I don't.
People make him uncomfortable.
Well, genuinely, I...
That's obvious by his responses to everybody wished him well.
No, I... Okay. That one, I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage with. I don't duck out early most of the time, unless I mean, genuinely, unless I have something to do. I like talking to folks. That's in a scenario like that where they're, you know, where it's not like this, where they're telling me that they're going to miss me. That's, and it makes me a little, you know, it's uncomfortable, but.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I have. What?
You haven't ducked out early. At least
I didn't think so. I
at least he shows up, Volstorm.
Hey, I show up when I can. You know, I believe it or not, I do have a life outside of this show and Twitter.
I know, living over there, living over there on West End.
Hey, I got to make that money somehow.
That is correct. You got to pay for those trips to Nashville.
That's right.
And bourbon. Somebody somehow.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, we're going to miss you, brother. And good luck to you. And, you know, try to stay out of trouble. I know it's hard.
I'll do my best. Volstorm, I greatly appreciate it. You're awesome. You have always been awesome. Despite all of you give me a hard time. But I appreciate that, too. It's been fun.
I do those I love. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't even talk to you.
Well, thanks, man.
All right. See you, boys.
See you, Boston.
I will say about his number one, one of the coolest things from all this has been there have been, I kid you not, probably three or four different people that have said, hey, I saw you, either heard you talking about or saw you tweeting about the Predators. And I watched some of their games. And now I'm all in on it. One guy in particular, Kevin Aegis, who's a regular listener to the show, has told me that. And he like watches all the games, tweets me about them. I love that. So, you know, that hasn't been for naught. I haven't done that in vain. I've switched people over to rooting for the greatest pro sports franchise in this state.
I'm just caught up on the fact that Volstorm just asked a man that saw a homeless person on the sidewalk with a knife and followed that person down the street to stay out of trouble.
I said I'll try. Didn't say I can.
Oh, was the guy homeless? I don't think he was homeless, was he?
I don't know that he was homeless. I just know that he was a straggly-looking individual. But I'm not going to make any assumptions.
Just say it. He looked homeless.
And he pulled out a box cutter.
And Charlie was like, let me go see what he's about to do.
I got to go see what this dude's about to do with this box cutter.
So Volstorm is asking that person to stay out of trouble. Okay, I got you. Well, what do we have here? Let me put my magnifying glass to the test.
Slate event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, hour 3 coming up.